Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is September the 9th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, this is going to be a Dolphins-focused episode. In tomorrow's episode, I'm going to be going over all the games from around the NFL and some of the main headlines and narratives after this first week of football. But today's episode, again, is going to be focused on the Dolphins and the game between them and the Baltimore Ravens. So to start it off, the Dolphins made it absolutely clear they're tanking, but this performance was still unacceptable. It can be in both. You know, you can be okay with the idea of them rebuilding or tanking, whatever you want to call it. But to me, I saw this performance as still unacceptable. I put a tweet earlier in the day that I was expecting this to happen, but then there's an entirely different feeling when you're actually watching it unfold. It's kind of like, wow, I didn't know it would be this bad. And I think this crossed a line into too bad, and it could have some serious repercussions that affect how well this rebuild slash tank actually ends up going, because there's a ton of factors that still have to go right. A tank isn't a guarantee that it will lead a team to success, and there needs to be some foundation laid in place beforehand, and I think this could have some serious consequences in that. So we dive into this game, and it was absolutely horrendous. The Baltimore Ravens won this game by a score of 59-10. Off the rip, it was just complete Ravens dominance. Lamar Jackson finished the game with a perfect quarterback rating, 17 for 20, 324 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Now, he played so well that RG3 ended up coming in the game and actually doing pretty well himself. RG3, 6 for 6, 55 yards and a touchdown. The Baltimore rushing game was absolutely dominant. I mean, the air attack was there, but frankly, it didn't even have to be there if they didn't want to use it. Mark Ingram finished the game with 107 yards, 7.6 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns on the day. Now, I talked about the air attack. It was mostly led by Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown, the cousin of Antonio Brown. Guy was absolutely dominant. He had burners. He just looked tremendous. 147 yards, 2 touchdowns for him. And then Mark Andrews, a tight end that a lot of people have been hyping up after a solid rookie season. He had 8 catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown. So that was just to kind of show you how dominant this Baltimore Ravens offense was. They were just scoring at will. It looked like Lamar Jackson had the potential to break a few records in this game. The Ravens indeed actually broke their record for most points in a game. So it was just a really poor performance from the Miami Dolphins side. And that falls both on the offense. As you can see, they only put up 10 points. And then it falls on the defense as well. The shocking thing for me was how bad the defense was. I was fully expecting the offense to come in here and looked absolutely atrocious like they did. I was just already accepting that. But I really expected, based off what I saw in the preseason, it looked like there was a good scheme in place. That even if the star power wasn't necessarily there for the Dolphins, that they could benefit off having a good scheme and being able to at least look solid and show us that there's some type of foundation there. And what we saw was the absolute opposite. It was worse than a Matt Burke defense, which I frankly thought I wouldn't see again. But this is truly what it was, just an absolutely horrible performance. So we dig into the Miami Dolphins stat line. We have Ryan Fitzpatrick. He went 14 for 29, 185 yards, a touchdown, and a really, really bad pick. And then we have Josh Rosen, who came in for some reason when the team was already down by 50. He finished the game 1 for 3, and he had a very bad pick as well. So if you're looking for some type of glimmer of hope, it's really a stretch to say anybody in particular, but DeVante Parker had a tremendous grab, a 49-yard catch and double coverage. One of those ones that he does every once in a while, every once in a blue moon. I think if you remember, he had a great catch. I believe it was against the Patriots like 2 years ago. And then he had that one-handed catch, of course, last year against the Raiders. So he's really capable of doing these things, but it's just so inconsistent that I wouldn't get really too hyped up about it. He had 3 catches for 75 yards. Really good performance from him. And then Preston Williams had a really nice touchdown grab where he was able to maneuver his body, kind of contort it in a way where he could get both feet in bounds. It was really a nice play there. He finished the day 3 catches for 24 yards and that touchdown. But like I said, if you're really looking for any sort of glimmer of hope, that's what it was in this game. But even then, it was kind of a stretch to say that they put up a wow performance. It was just all across the board very, very bad. Now, some notes, the defense has to be put on blast. I saw a lot of people on Twitter, they were arguing, well, Was it the scheme or was it the players? And frankly, to say it doesn't fall on both would be ignorant to say, because it really does. I mean, for the most part, the Dolphins defense, and I'll touch on this more later, they looked absolutely lazy. It looked like they didn't want to play this game. They walked in there already looking defeated. And for you to put all the blame on the scheme would be absolutely ridiculous. And you'd have to kind of be blind to see how the Dolphins were performing. Eric Rowe in particular looked absolutely horrible in this game. Such minimal effort from him just all across the board. There were times where even the defense alignment just stopped attacking the offense alignment, just stopped making an effort to go for the quarterback before he even threw the ball. It just didn't make sense all across the board. There was a play where Minka Fitzpatrick was for some reason lined up on Marquise Brown. And now Minka, who I'm sure is a good player, Marquise Brown has burners, and I don't think that's a situation that you necessarily want to be pairing him up with. So in those kind of instances where the plays were matched up wrong, I understand why someone would want to blame the scheme. But blaming the scheme for plays like where the Lamar Jackson floated one towards the back of the end zone and it was caught, frankly, I think that's a situation you want. Bobby McCain, I believe, delivered great pressure, forced Lamar Jackson to sprint backwards, and for some reason he elected to lob one into the end zone. 9 out of 10 times, that's a horrible decision to make. That's the exact thing you want to happen if you're a defense. But like I said, Eric Rowe just completely gave up on the play, and this thing floated into a wide open tight end's hand. It really just didn't make any sort of sense. Now, after every game, I give my recap and I give my takeaways from the game. It's a little bit more scripted and written typically, but this one, there was just not much to really base off, and it's just coming from pure emotion at this point. Now, my takeaways for this game, and the glaringly obvious one, that the Dolphins are tanking, but my second takeaway, which is probably the most important thing, is that I don't know if this tanking is too far. I don't know if they should tank to this extent, because this, like I said in the beginning of the episode, could affect the foundation you're trying to build. Now, I want to allude to a little story I have from back when I was in college. I hope you guys don't mind. I was back in college and I decided to take a basketball class, right? I love basketball. I'm a pretty decent basketball player. I'm not no college basketball athlete, but at the time I was a very solid player. I knew how to dribble. I could shoot threes very well. Well, I took the class and there were a bunch of kids in the class that did not know how to do even the most fundamental of things. They could barely dribble. They could not shoot at all. No knock on them, but they were just truly beginners at the sport of basketball. And then there was also a group of people who were in the middle. They could dribble pretty well, maybe with one hand. They could shoot if they were close enough. And the coach elected to, for some reason, mix up the team. And since I was one of the better ones, he put me with all the beginners and put all the people that were kind of the middle tier all on one team. Well, every day in class, our team, the one with all the beginners, we would get beat so bad. And he had a scoreboard and everything. And we would just get crushed into oblivion. And I was never affected by it too badly because I thought, okay, this is a college class. This is all for fun. I don't really care. I'm just here to get the grade and, you know, have fun. But every day, as it started happening consistently, like every single morning, just getting pummeled into the ground, it really started to build up and I began to explode. I started to dread it. It started to stress me out. I started to feel worse. It started to affect my daily life because getting pummeled into oblivion in that way, even if it is something that's just for fun, even if the players on the Dolphins were to recognize that this is for tanking or for some other purpose, that's what I'm alluding to, this is going to have a huge effect on them. So I'm thinking of the young guys like Jerome Baker and Minka Fitzpatrick, guys who have this great potential already. If you're going to send them out there for 16 games, for them to get pummeled into the ground, for them to get beat into oblivion, I think that's going to have a huge potential repercussion on any sort of development they have. So after the game, there was news coming out that there were several Dolphin players that demanded to be traded, or that they were at least very interested in being traded from the team after his performance. Adam Beasley said a locker room had never cleared out quite as quick as after this game. So to the people who want to get traded, I would be unjust if I said I could not understand why. I know there are a few veterans that probably shouldn't have to put themselves through this misery of a season that is the Dolphins 2019 season. Guys like Rashad Jones probably shouldn't have to deal with this. Guys maybe even like Albert Wilson, or guys who are in the peak of their prime and have an opportunity to help a team somewhere else, and instead they're helping the Dolphins in a rebuild that they really don't even know if they're a part of. And I see guys on rookie contracts as well. I know these guys want to get paid on their second contract. That's their big contract. They want to make some money. Well, no team is going to want to pay them a good chunk of money if they look at your film and you're getting beat into the ground for 16 games out of the year. So I totally understand why guys would want to get out of this situation. So that is why I think the Dolphins are not doing this rebuild, at least after week one, in the correct way. So I know the next question that will come up is, well, how else do you expect to tank and for it not to be bad? But the thing is, I'm sure players would give it their all. Like when the Browns tanked, there were moments where they looked like they were just completely giving up, but there were other moments where it looked like there were guys that were still trying. But like I said, the roster was very weak. Just how Miami's current roster right now, it's a pretty weak roster and it doesn't have a lot of depth to it. But right now, it looked like the guys weren't even trying. And I think that's the main issue. It looks like, in a way, Brian Flores may have lost the hope of some of these guys and probably some of the key guys on this team. And I think a lot of this stems from trading Laremy Tunsil and trading Kenny Stills. And I'm not going to say this trade was a bad trade, but the idea of making this trade at that point in the season, after right before the regular season, right after the preseason, you elect to trade your best offensive player and one of the leaders of this team for future draft picks. So what is that saying to the team? That is as obvious as it gets that we're not planning to win right now. We traded our best offensive player and a leader on this team. We're not planning on winning at all this season, but in the future, we plan on winning. A lot of these guys don't even know if they're going to be a part of the future. So how can you convince a group of guys to go out there and to know that you are invested in them? I'm not sure how you are able to do that. And I think by making that trade at that point, was just a huge risk and could have potentially imploded this team. So I'm really hoping that's not the case. I'm hoping the Dolphins are able to pick it up a little bit. Like I said, the idea of tanking, I'm not necessarily completely for it because I know it could backfire, but I'm not against it. I'm just kind of all right with the decision. If that's what they want to do and the Dolphins are tired of this idea of mediocrity and they feel this is the proper way, then by all means, go ahead and I'll be along for the ride. But if they're going to do it this way, where they're just getting beat by 60 or 50 every single game, and it's ruining the trajectory of these young rookie guys or these young second-year players that have a lot of potential, and they begin to get frustrated with this organization, then I think you're doing this tanking or this rebuild in the wrong way. So as we move forward, I don't know what to expect. Obviously, I'm not expecting any sort of win on a week-to-week basis. I'm not going to project the Dolphins for a guaranteed win in any week just because of this performance. But the only thing we could hope to see is some sort of life and some sort of foundation being built, because that's all I wanted to see. If the Dolphins were electing to tank or rebuild and the stat at the end of the game said loss, but I saw some potential there, especially on the defensive side of the ball since there are so many good young players, then I would have something to be hopeful for. But after this game, especially with Dolphin fans, I don't know how you could look and see that there's any sign of hope. And it almost seems like they're just tanking without any sort of plan in place, which of course is an extremely reckless way to go about it. So I hope the Dolphins can get back on track and at least show that if they're going to go with this rebuild tank, that they could at least have some sort of plan to go with it. But right now, there's just not much looking good for the Miami Dolphins. So before I end the episode, the one thing I want to talk about is this idea that the Ravens were disrespectful in this game. People were saying they were Bush League and that they were being disrespectful with some of their decision making in this game. So for those who weren't watching and who didn't know what happened, it all began when they were up by 30 and they elected to go for a fake punt, and the fake punt ended up getting 60 yards. They were able to go down the field and score. So that was one. But then later on in the fourth quarter, they elected to go for it on fourth down when they were in the red zone and they threw a touchdown. So people thought they were running up the score and it was disrespectful and all that. Now, from my viewpoint, is it disrespectful? I mean, obviously it is. I'm not going to say that's good sportsmanship being shown by the Ravens. Clearly, it is somewhat of a disrespectful thing to do. You're running up the score. But where does that lie on my list of priorities? Frankly, not very high. Out of all the things I could be offended by, I'm not going to choose to be offended by them electing to run the score up. I'm more offended by the fact that the team I'm watching allowed it to get to that point. I'm not going to be mad that they're adding a few more points. I'm more mad that the Dolphins allowed to let it get to that point. So I'm more of that mindset that if you don't want them to do it to you, then don't let it get to that point. It just isn't high on my list of priorities of things to be mad about. Frankly, these are all professional athletes. I think the fact that the Ravens are treating them as worthy opponents and not just saying that they're going to go easy on them because they were getting beat so bad, I understand sportsmanship to an extent, but like I said, just if you don't want to get beat that bad, then don't let it happen. That's the simple answers I could give. So that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast. That is at Via The Source. As always, guys, I appreciate all the listens, all the shares. Feel free to ask questions. There's a bunch of fantasy news that I'm anxious to talk about in tomorrow's episode. So stay tuned for that. As always, guys, though, it was a pleasure to be your host. I'm Steve Amasso. This was Via The Source.